And the territory that we're covering today is going to be somewhat familiar for you guys, probably a number of you who have been in church for quite some time. We're not going to linger in great detail around some of these verses. We could, but really this is more of a matter of kind of picking up the theme out of some of these sections that are coming through here. And I think it's an important theme to see because it's really kind of an opposite of what we have, especially in Western Christianity. I might even say global Christianity as we look through it. And Jesus is really, he's been stepping on toes for a while, and it's not going to stop really anytime soon, and not even today. So I'll just, as a quick reminder, these aren't my words, okay? These are just what's there. And that's what we're going to go through today and try to get this kind of figured out. As a quick reminder, as we're looking through this Sermon on the Mount, as they'll call it, Jesus has brought this large crowd up to a hilltop, a mountain. They're all there in the neighborhood, and he's kind of preaching to them. And he's doing something really interesting. He starts out by essentially indicating those who we would see as not being valued or perhaps cursed by God. He said, actually, those are the ones who are blessed. The ones who would typically feel like they're furthest from God because of a life condition are actually the ones who are nearest to them. And then he changes up this definition of blessing, and it's God's favor is upon those folks. And he begins to talk about what it's going to look like in his kingdom, in this new kingdom that's coming, this kingdom that actually he leaves to us to bring. He begins to talk about this, and he does some really interesting things in it. He starts to talk about murder, but he says, that's just like being angry. It's the same thing. It kind of comes out of that same root spot, and he begins to sort of step on our toes. And I had a number of people who would say, well, it can't be just anger. It's got to be something more than that. But it's not. And I'll say it, that sucks, because we all have these moments of anger. It just does. But there it is. It's right there. He equates lust or desiring after another person as adultery, as though you're cheating on someone with them or taking advantage of them. And that's really sort of the core. He goes right to the heart core issue to say you're using someone to meet your desires. Don't do that. Don't do that. And there our toes get swept on again, right? It just kind of hurts a little bit more. A few weeks ago, we looked at this one, which was love your enemy. He went further to say, pray for your enemies. I like to think, can I just be honest with myself? I have to, like, sometimes remember to pray for people I like, let alone an enemy, somebody I don't like. And he's really begins to kind of change a lot of that up in there. And we're going to look at one that's new today. And here's kind of what we're going to concentrate on. And it's this. And it's going to seem a little strange as we go through it, because I think we've been taught something for quite some time that doesn't make a lot of sense. But maybe we can look at something with new eyes, something that's a little fresh. This is a kingdom ethic that shows up, and it's hide your good secrets in God. And it's a little nuanced. We tend to try to take what we want to keep in secret and keep it from God. Anyone ever tried to kind of do that? You keep it sometimes from humans, but you just might be some things that you hope God doesn't see. Like maybe he missed that one. Maybe he was checking out someone else. But as it turns out, there are good secrets. There are good things. And we're told to hide those in God. And it's interesting. There are things that he wants us to do that he doesn't want other people to see. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. All right. You ready? Should we check it out? Ready to go? Yeah? Good? Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to get started. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. There's a phrase in here that should catch some of you, that perhaps if you've ever read this, maybe you've just skipped over. And it just comes right out of the gate. Beware of practicing your righteousness. Anyone confused on what the word righteousness means? If you are, you can raise your hand. I got one of these. So just one. I have only one honest person. He hasn't covered the don't lie yet. Okay. Right. So righteousness. We often try to kind of put that in context of right standing with God. That's really not an essence of what captures it. It's the good that you do. Righteousness is the good that you do. And this is a problem. In fact, it might be some of you who are feeling a little tension, because maybe you've been told for a long time that there isn't anything good in you, that there is no good that you can do, that only God is good. In fact, we'll see verses like that in the Gospels. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. But right here in Jesus' kind of dissertation, apparently humans have a righteousness about them. And when we practice it, we need to be careful. And I just want to set that kind of into your head. It's interesting, your righteousness. But don't do it in a way to be seen. Otherwise, it's of no value. At least no value to you. Now, let's just pretend for a minute. You do something good, and you do that for another person, and other people see it, and you've done it for the express purpose of making sure it was seen. Does that somehow diminish the gift for the other person? No. They still receive that good. But the intent of the heart, which is what we've been looking at through this whole thing, right? Murder, lust, love. These are all inside things. The intent, it says, look, that's got to come from a true place. Otherwise, there's no benefit to you. It's as though God says, my favor's not upon you when you broadcast to the world everything that you do that's good. You follow that? Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet, but I've never done that. This is sort of that archaic, ancient thing. It'd be like if you found a panhandler, you'd grab a trumpet in your car, open the window, and give them a dollar. Okay? Just think about that for a minute. Sound no trumpet. In other words, make no announcement, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Interesting play there. He's saying, as the hypocrites do, those in my own nation, the Hebrews and the Jews, and those of the Gentiles out in the streets. Why would you do something like that? Well, so that you would be praised by others. Don't make an announcement. Don't try to do something to be seen. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward, which is why God says, I don't need to give them one. You got what you wanted. Rather, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Clear? Everybody clear on that one? If you are, I'll give you the mic. You can come and explain that one. Okay? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I'm going to tell you, this is a fascinating little turn of phrase. It's as though when you begin to really examine it, I'm going to maybe share something with you that maybe is a way that you hadn't really thought about this. But if you kind of put it in the context of how you function as a human being, you are constantly having discussions with yourself all the time. And here's what's happened, okay? I'm certain some of you are going to resonate with this. You're cruising along one day, just minding your own business, going about life. And say you're shopping at the store, and you're just doing your thing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you kind of get this, kind of this sense, this feeling, this thought that comes in to notice somebody who you hadn't noticed before. And again, this is just an example. You notice them, and all of a sudden you notice, perhaps I think I'm supposed to do something over here with this person, but I'm not sure what. And so you begin to get into a conversation with yourself. And if you have the courage to follow that, what you might find out is they're here, they're going through some trauma, and maybe they just need their groceries paid for. And you get to be the angel that appears on site to do that because you had the sense something kind of came up, you made the point of contact, perhaps sharing in prayer, showing your goodness, nobody knows you've done it, right? Left hand from the right hand. Has anyone, do you understand what I'm saying? You've ever had that urge to help? And what do? You begin to get into an argument with yourself about what you should or shouldn't do. And you end up talking yourself out of it. Anyone ever done that? Yep. Okay. When God enters into the scene and the Spirit's like, psst, hey, I need you. That's kind of the moment that you take your left hand, tie it behind your back, and just go give your right hand of strength to the person and help them. Don't talk yourself out of it. Just go do it. Don't let yourself know what's going on. Just follow it through. Because given enough time, you will justify exactly why you shouldn't. Help them. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, I saw a lot of hands go up the first time around. Don't let yourself talk yourself out of it. Just do it. I think it's an interesting turn of phrase. Why would we want to do that? So that you're giving maybe in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He will be the one who will come along and say, here you go, here's your reward. We're going to see this phrase repeat over and over and over again. Now, I'm just going to put a little tickler in your brain. Can you think of a time early, way, 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 way back in Scripture, way early on the first few pages, of a word that shows up over and over and over again? And God created the heavens and the earth, and He saw it was good. Remember these? And He divided the waters from the waters, and He saw that it was good. We learn in those first few sections that God sees, and He sees what is good. Do this in secret, and He will see what is good, and He will reward it. He will bless it. What did He do in the last days? He blessed the day. I don't think it's by accident the author's Matthew's pulling this together. All right, let's do some more. Ready? Here's another one. When you pray, hold on. I think I need to go forward. Did it not go forward, Jim? There it went. Okay. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, the ones in the synagogues and the streets. We already were told that. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. This is not really a Western problem. We don't see this again that often happening. It's just not one of those things. But I don't know if I should go here. All right, I'll step out. Okay, here we go. There have been a number of times, because I've had a lot of opportunities to speak here and elsewhere, and I've had a lot of opportunities to pray for a congregation or for a person or for a meal. And there are some people from some traditions that like to acknowledge that was a beautiful, wonderful prayer, as though I said it to be acknowledged. Have you ever been in a tradition where you have had an opportunity to speak, or perhaps you knew someone who did, and they would write their prayers out so that they would be spoken well and make a lot of sense? I know, pull your toes up, it's okay. Lift your feet if you need to. You hear what I'm saying? Don't do that. Don't pray to be seen. Pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Starting to pick up the pattern here. Don't do this, but do that. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Catch the pattern? Do these things in secret. You'll see it. You'll know you're doing that. Oh, and by the way, when you pray, when you do this, don't heap up empty promises and phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words, their beautiful words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Should be an indication as to why you should be praying. You pray to ask something. But don't be like, I won't pick on that. That would have been picking on a group, and I won't do that. I really want to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that. Right? Empty phrases, big words, fanciful, very, you know, ornate in their prayers. None of it matters. Why? Because God sees what's in secret. And if you are praying publicly and asking for something that you know and God knows you don't need, it's going to come off as ingenuine. If you're praying for someone you don't really care about, then He's going to know. It's empty phrases. It means nothing. Yeah, I read this and I think our prayers probably should really get a lot shorter. Right? Be genuine. Be honest with God and yourself and with others. That's a hard one. Man, that's difficult. Oh, and by the way, if you don't know how to pray, He gives us a lesson on this, and you should know some of this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Acknowledging who He is. Your name. Want to get into that, but we won't. Your kingdom. This is a new kingdom ethic, right? This is how things work in the kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will. We want to do what you want done. On earth, just as it is in heaven. There's our connection. I love it. In the Lord's Prayer, this is what this is, in case you didn't know that. There's a connection between heaven and earth. There's a will of God in heaven. There's a will in God on earth. And it connects it, bridges it right here. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what we're asking for. And forgive us. We're asking for forgiveness, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us, us all the time, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Anybody ever heard this? Oh, and by the way, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. But if you don't, He won't. And then He just moves on. No explanation about that one. None. Although He is teaching under an old system, right? We're still functioning. Has He died yet? He hasn't died yet, so we don't have. Paul would write later that for a new covenant, a new will to take effect, the person who made the will needs to die. He hasn't died yet. So we're still working under this old system, which is kind of an eye for an eye sort of thing. Remember those things? You forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't, you won't. So I will say, I think Paul undoes some of this in the New Testament. I don't want to say undoes it. It's been changed. And this is not unusual. We've seen Jesus do this the whole time, right? He'll find a thing like, do not murder, but I'm telling you, here's what it really means. So He's speaking with a lot of authority. And when He says pray like this, it doesn't mean this is the prayer you repeat over and over and over. And again, not to pick on any particular faith. I don't want to do that. Okay? But ask for what you need and be genuine and honest with God. I told you we won't spend a lot of time on a few of these. Oh, and by the way, when you fast, something that we don't necessarily do a lot in the West, don't look gloomy. I love that. Oh, what's wrong, Jeremy? Oh, I've given up soda for God. And I just, boy, it's so hard. I don't know how I'm going to make it through like the next week or 24 hours. Oh, I'm giving up so much for God. Don't do that. Oh, sorry. I'm giving up so much for God. Disfigure their faces, right? If you are not, if you don't know what this looks like, just find one of the kids. Offer them some candy and then take it away. And watch their face. That's a disfigured face, okay? That's what we're talking about. Don't do that. Don't do that. In other words, when you're giving something up, when you're fasting, when you're saying, I'm not going to partake in this particular thing as an honor or as a reminder or as any kind of a worship towards God, don't be gloomy. Don't let people know. Because in that way, you've already received your reward. But rather, when you do this, something that we should consider, if it's not an aspect of your life, it might be something you might want to think about. When you do this, anoint your head and wash your face. That seems kind of strange, but let me tell you what it means. It means anoint your head, you would put oil on, you would clean yourself up, freshen yourself up, so that you look healthy and you look like everything's okay. Don't let anybody know. In fact, you should kind of promote the opposite. Life is better. And they don't even know that you're going through this. And in that way, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Isn't that interesting? I want you to look normal. Look like it's any other day. Those are fascinating, aren't they? Now you can maybe kind of see when I write, hide your good secrets in God. Keep them there. Hide them. Don't let them be seen. And there's interesting stuff. What is a good secret? Let's just, quick reminder. Well, it's our righteousness. The good that we bring. Jeremy, there's none good. God, people can't. I don't know. Jesus seemed to write that we have something to bring to this. I mean, he did equip us in the garden to be a blessing and to take care of creation. It's not as though that disappeared. We just chose another way. One aspect he touches on is to give. It's the first thing, in fact, he pulls out. Be a generous giver. Be willing to be a giver. Do I need to say any more? Do I need to break that one down any more for anyone? Do we get that one? It's a four-letter word. Give. Are you talking about money? Yeah, sometimes. If you have it and somebody needs it. I don't have any money. Do you have time? Give it. Make room for that. Be one who's willing to share what you've been given. One of the good things you can do is pray, especially for others. Acknowledge God, acknowledge where he sits in the whole pattern of things, and then ask for what you want to ask for. Ask for what, and be genuine about that. Apparently, that's a righteous thing to do. That's a good thing. And we can do that. Be a prayer. I like to say that. I wanted to get a sticker or maybe even a tattoo on my palm. Pray up. You know, something like that. Like, pay up, sucka, pray up, sucka, something like that. But Kara wouldn't let me get a tattoo on my palm. She said that was too gangster, I guess. I don't know. I just, the more I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, it wouldn't work on me. It just doesn't work. Good for her, that's right. She's a good woman. Worth keeping, right? Good secrets, our righteousness, give, pray. And then fasting is something we can do. It's that desire right? When you fast, you're fasting from something that you desire. Sometimes you're fasting from something that you need. Even better. Start with desire, move to something that you need. Fasting from that. That means just not consuming it, not taking it. It's kind of an interesting thing here, this mix, isn't it? You know, in order to do this, you have to believe that there's enough. That there's enough and that God will make sure that you have your share of it. That there will be enough. And if you look really closely, I think you kind of see a pattern in here. You look really, really close. It's interesting. Let's take a look at it. Let's just kind of see if we can pull this out. Here's kind of the summary that they're for. Do what pleases God rather than what praises you. Make sense? Do we need to unpack that anymore? Do what pleases God rather than what praises you. It's a secret thing. But here's the interesting thing. We saw this word, the Father sees, the Father sees, the Father sees, the Father sees. Almost as many times as we see it, no pun intended, on the first page of Genesis. The Father sees, the Father sees. He saw, it was good. He saw, it was good. He saw, it was very good. He saw the man was alone, it was bad, and he fixed it. The Father sees, and it makes you wonder. If we kind of think about this a little bit, just bear with me for just a second. The core problem on page 3 is that we had a human who saw, they desired, and they took. And when you look at this, it's kind of an interesting reversal, isn't it? Think about that for just a minute. Just look at that. They see, they desire, they take. Instead, we are to give, not take. Don't take it, give it. You catch the play that's going on here? Instead of desiring, fast from it. Eliminate that desire. Just like he would say to Cain, you've got sin outside of your door crouching, but you've got to master this desire. You've got to step away from it. Overcome it. And instead of us being the ones to see, hide, remember, hide, go into the secret place and pray. If you think about how that would have played out, you've got the serpent, I'm doing air quotes, the serpent comes and talks to Eve. What would have happened if she had just perhaps gone to God the Father and said, "So I ran into a talking snake who told me that if I eat from this, I'll become like a god. I'll become as you. What do you think I should do about that?" What, I mean, did she have that? Was that a possibility to play out? Yes, they walked together in the garden. How would you and I describe a conversation with God? What do we call that? Starts with a P? Prayer. And that would have, perhaps he might have said, it is something you desire, but you must overcome the desire and rule it. Don't let the beast of the field be the one to lead you. You see how this works? It's an interesting play in the pattern that's going on. It's fascinating. Do what pleases God rather than what praises you. And this is so challenging. That see, desire, take. We want to be seen by others. How many times did we see that in there? Don't pray the fancy prayer to be seen. Don't give in such a way and announce it so that you'll be seen. You end up becoming bad fruit. The kind of fruit that might lead someone astray, thinking this is the way that you give. This is the way that you serve. This is the way that you pray. You do everything to be seen. Don't do that. Keep it secret. Anyone ever tried to keep something you did good secret? It's hard when you're married and you have a checking account that you can get online and see. Like, occasionally Kara will order flowers for someone and I'll like see it pop up and go, oh, this amount at 1-800-Flowers. I'm like, oh, she's doing something nice for someone. I just saw it and ruined her blessing. But I ignore it. I just delete it and go, I didn't see that. Don't desire those things when you give and when you fast and when you pray. These are important things. This is your righteousness. This is your goodness. Do them in a way that matters, that other people can see. Make sense? Are we good with that? Any quick questions before we close? You've got just a couple minutes. If you have a question, say, I knew it's a lot of text, but you guys are going to figure it out. Yeah, go ahead, Nick. In an instance of inspiring others to give, can you give me an example? Not without ruining your secret blessing. Leading by example. A match gift, sure. I like I prefer those when they're anonymous. They aren't always, but and our financial system today isn't set up to really hide from doing that. You want to report it and take advantage of that. So I would say there's something different between. So really, the question is, how do I do this and lead by example, show other people, perhaps teach. Right? Okay. Okay, so, okay. Okay. Right. So, if you notice in this, and this is going to sound strange, there's no prohibition for the person who receives the blessing to announce it. Did you notice that? There's no prohibition for someone who you help to make that announcement. And I'm not suggesting that that's what you do. However, what I have found, just personally, is when somebody, especially when it comes to financial help with men, when someone finally kind of hits that point of courage to be able to say, you know, I needed help, I asked for it, and I got it. And maybe you should ask too, because it really helped me get through that moment. It saved a marriage. It kept me out of, you know, whatever it may be. We can leave it up to the one who receives what is good to do the lifting of the message in that case. Otherwise, it oftentimes will come off as I'm trying to say it to get praised, or I'm saying it for manipulation. One of the best ways for someone in my experience to see the value in giving is to be with people who have nothing. And then we're on the receiving side of something, because they can speak from a place of genuineness in their heart that we just can't seem to produce on our own. Hopefully this kind of maybe answers that. Maybe you find that spot in your life where somebody came along with their willingness to be good and share their righteousness with you at a time when you were in need. It may not always be financial. And speak from that place of what that did for you when somebody helped you out. That might, hopefully, does that kind of redirect it? Redirect it, because what will Paul say later in the New Testament? When I am weak, that's when you are strong. In my shreddedness, that's when God's glory comes through. So allow those moments where you were at utter weakness, when it was the worst, let those be the things that actually raise the banner up. All right, we're at noon. Sorry, go ahead. Hold on. Yes, go ahead. I agree. I agree 100%. It's about the motivation. Yeah, motivation is it to be praised, to be recognized, to be like, look at me, versus is it really a genuine act of goodness, kindness, and mercy? Right. Yeah, and I would agree with you 100%. It's all about, that's what he's been talking about, right? Anger, murder, lust, adultery. I mean, these are all really inside, internal decision mechanisms that are happening here. Correct. I would agree with that too. If you were in a spot where you could give, you knew you should give, and you didn't because someone was going to see it, I would say give it. Give it. Because at that point, I think what you're doing in assisting another, here's the interesting thing. All God says is, you've already received your reward. Okay. Am I in this for rewards? If I'm not, I won't care, right? So I agree with you 100%. You could have summed that up. We could have been out of here and had lunch early. So, in fact, we're right there on time. Real quick, Karen, make it fast. So two excellent examples. You never know. Just be available, be there, and be helpful. You have a few dollars in your pocket, somebody needs it, give it. Because when you don't, this is kind of, I know some are on fixed incomes, I'm not suggesting you get, look, you got to be, you've ever had the conversation with me about money? Okay. It is important that you live indoors, that you wear clothes, and that you eat, period, before a dime goes anywhere else. That's important. And if you're faithful to that, there should be a little left over. There should be. It doesn't have to be much. So don't let anyone ever guilt you into doing something about that. It's really, it's not about that, but sometimes you might have that dollar. The reason sometimes we don't give of our time, of our talent, or a treasure is, occasionally, we might feel like there's not enough, like God might be holding back from us. We just don't trust that it's going to be there. But he made this good world that's full of blessings, and there's always going to be a way to find your way there, at least if you're in a community of people who love each other. So, all right, thanks. Q&A put us a little over, but that's okay. We'll wrap it up. I'll try not to do a big, wordy, awesome prayer. And then we'll share communion and we can get you home. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today. And yes, there's no self-consciousness about praying at the end of here's how to pray. But Father, we would just ask that you would allow this wisdom to just kind of nestle itself into our heart, that you would use whatever words are necessary to convey that into our life. Father, we had a couple of good questions there about how it is that we are good and we let our righteousness come through but not make it about us. And Father, that is a challenge to do. So I would just ask for wisdom in those moments to make sure that the intent of our heart is pure, is really truly about loving our neighbor and doing it out of a love for you, that we want to be like you here. We want to be the image you made us to be. Father, we know there are people who are continuing to go through health issues, family challenges, financial challenges, loss in their life. Father, just give us the courage and sensitivity to be aware when we need to step in and step up and help and say something and be there and perhaps even be there in a greater way. Father, we love you. We thank you. We just look so forward to a time when your kingdom is not just near, but here. And we'll be living in this way. We ask this in Jesus' name.